It'd be funny if instead of the countdown was from like 5, it was from like 30. Like 30, 29.
Right.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another Bare Necessities podcast. You're always authentic and rarely ridiculed. And really late at times, Chicago Bears podcast. I'm your host, Austin. With me, again, my gracious co-host, Reese. Reese, we got some news today, finally. Just to give a quick intro, you know, I'm trying to get better at letting people know what's going to be on the podcast before you actually need to get 30 minutes into it. We are going to talk about the Justin Fields trade. We are going to be talking about the Keenan Allen trade. And then we're also going to be talking about the Bears free agency and potential draft moving forward. Reese, how was your week this week?
Yeah, pretty good. No complaints. Definitely just been busy, as I'm sure you are as well, Austin. So, you know, nothing too crazy there. But overall, the Bears have been a lot to keep up with. And certainly, you know, since the last time you all have heard from us, a lot has happened. I can't believe you didn't bring up the Ryan Bates trade, Austin.
Man, that one's a tough one, you know. That
one was the biggest move of the offseason.
The biggest move of the offseason. That or Shelton Coleman. one of those two. But yeah, man, it's been an eventful week. I saw that pretty much everything from Jalen Johnson's contract extension to Justin Fields being traded yesterday happened within 1 week, which is kind of insane. So this team looks completely different than what it looked like just a week ago. Really quickly, we can touch on the Jalen Johnson contract extension. Really happy that we got that done. Didn't really want to delay that any more than normal. You know, when it happened initially, I thought, oh my God, this is such a great deal for Ryan Poles. But really, I thought it was even better once I saw some of the contract breakdown, you know, putting higher cap numbers on earlier years. Just makes a lot of sense. Jalen Johnson had a very, which is something that's changed with this regime, is that they'll have like contract extension pressers, which I don't know if we just didn't see the last regime extend that many people, and that's why extend that many draft picks, and that's why we didn't have those pressers. But it seems to be something that Poles and Eberflus have been focusing on more. You know, Jalen Johnson giving out some heart-filled messages. You know, I'm not going to speak on who, but there were some bum reporters making some very bum questions to Jalen Johnson when he was being, you know, vulnerable with addictions he's had in the past, which has been, you know, which was a little frustrating. But overall, you know, very happy for Jalen Johnson. Think he is 100% deserved of that contract. In fact, I think the Bears actually got a good deal on that contract. I thought this number would be in the 20 millions, 22, maybe even 23, maybe. I thought it was going to be a record setting one, because the one thing with Jalen Johnson that makes him so special, and I know that we both really liked him coming into the draft in 2019, he was actually on both of our mock drafts that year. As well as Kendall Vildor, so don't give us too much credit. But
he was good for where he was picked.
We saw him, or at least I'll speak for myself, Reese. Maybe you saw him differently, but when he was getting drafted, I remember looking at him and looking at his skill set and being like, this dude is born to be a number two, a really high level number two, just pure press corner in the league. I didn't think that he would ever get the sort of ball hawking ability that he's had now. I didn't think he'd ever get the high level zone play that we're getting now from him as well. Those are two areas of his game that have just been completely transformed since coming to the league, and specifically since joining this coach, since Eberflus joined the team. And you know, that's something we saw with Eberflus's teams previously in Indianapolis that wasn't out of the question. But overall, man, Jalen Johnson, I think all around, might just be the best corner in the NFL. So getting him at $19 million a year, front-loaded deal, love it.
Yeah, I think with Jalen Johnson, you know, certainly if he would have just hit the open market, which wasn't going to happen since he did have the franchise tag placed on him, but certainly could have, you know, obtained a much larger deal or, you know, like those potentially record-breaking numbers for the position. So that was certainly possible if it had shook out that way. So I do think that, you know, Ryan Poles did negotiate a good contract. I'm happy for Jalen Johnson that he is getting, you know, that long-term deal, an extension of a player that's, you know, been a Bear for his whole career, which, you know, be what you will with that. We haven't seen it incredibly much with this administration. You know, there's a lot of shuffling. A lot of the players that were in from the past administration have come and gone. But I think with Jalen Johnson, he certainly has developed. I think this past year he showed some major steps forward from what you were saying, Austin. You know, someone that was primarily a man-to-man corner coming out of Utah, and he was able to develop his game to be really an all-around corner, someone that's not afraid to come up and make the hit, make a tackle, and also just improve that zone ability. And I think, you know, someone I've been very critical of has been Matt Eberflus in his time as a head coach of the Chicago Bears. But I do think that is one thing that you have to give Matt Eberflus credit to is probably, you know, just how big of a step forward Jalen Johnson has taken, yeah. Especially in that ability to play zone. So I think that, you know, I think Jalen Johnson is probably happy in the scheme that he's playing right now. It's certainly become a scheme that has suited his ability, and he's been able to adapt his game to that. So I think all around that was certainly, at the beginning of last week, was very welcome news. And I think a lot of fans' reactions when they did see the contract numbers, I believe the annual average being lower than that of the tag that he had placed on him the week prior was, well, not even a week, like the Thursday prior.
Yeah, I think it was like the was day certainly, prior, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a bang-bang type thing. I think some people were, you know, a bit, you know, a few people, very few people were a bit miffed of like, oh, why would you burn the tag on a player if you were so close to getting the deal done, but I don't know, to me that's kind of null and void. I think the bigger thing was getting him locked down in that contract, and I don't know
oh man we could have used the tag on Darnell him. Mooney
right, exactly. So I'm yeah, point being that
yeah, it's pretty funny because God, I can't remember what team this was talking about. I want to say it was the Commanders, or actually it might have been the Raiders. I can't remember. It was one of those two teams, but someone made the comment. They're like they're one of the top in cap space. Someone made the comment of this is not a result of a rebuild. This is a result of simply drafting players that are not worthy of second contracts, which is kind of the situation the Bears were in coming when Ryan Poles inherited it. Like, it's kind of crazy to think, sure, we lost some players during this rebuild, but really not that many, man. Not that many. And the big players that we did lose were ones that we traded away. So it's just kind of funny. Another thing I want to quickly mention before getting into the, oh, it was the Cardinals. That's who it was. It was the Cardinals, simply not drafting good enough players. Something that I wanted to mention also that I thought was hilarious, Justin Jones, 3-year, $10 million deal. And then also bringing in, Bilal Nichols from the Raiders for the Cardinals too, at a high cap number, has to be the most hilarious front two duo in the league. Especially for Bears fans. And at those contract numbers, man, I couldn't believe it when I saw Justin Jones get $10 million a year. That's crazy to me. I don't know what they see there. You know, I'm not like there's a lot to be said about that Cardinals organization. And I would be deathly afraid to go there if my name is Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm a little bit surprised. I think that at this point, players are just kind of trying to avoid that team. So maybe that's why they had to go out and make those big signing, those big cap hit signings for, you know, I would say at players that aren't even average at the position, to be completely honest. But yeah, you know, good for them. Should we talk about Justin Fields?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we can certainly get into Justin Fields. Obviously, that was a news that happened just yesterday, recording this on Sunday the 17th. And with the Justin Fields deal, honestly, too, I'll just preface it by saying, you know, I know both, you know, you and I, Austin, were very excited when he was drafted. And honestly, like, I understand, too, like, you know, I'm very happy that, and I hate bringing Twitter into this, but also, too, like, I know even outside of Twitter, like, there were a lot of fans that they really wanted Justin Fields to stay, you know, whether it be the casual fan or even still, like, some hardcore fans that really had belief in him, or whether or not it was just wanting to trade back from that first overall pick. A lot of people wanted, you know, to stick with Justin Fields. And I think that there is some things to credit to that. Like, obviously he was a very athletic, athletic freak at the quarterback position. I mean, when you talk about raw athletic ability, there's very few in the league, especially at the quarterback position, that really even come close to Justin Fields' ability. And I think also, too, I mean, he was just like a good guy. There was never anything negative off the field that happened with him. He didn't really bring any drama to the team. Hardworking guy. And what I will say is that, unfortunately, I think when I was thinking about it a little bit last night and earlier today, it was always just a situation that was doomed to fail. And that's kind of something with the NFL draft that I think people realize, but maybe isn't taken into account enough, especially when people throw out the bust label or things like that, because Justin Fields was brought in with a lame duck head coach and a lame duck, you know, head coach and Matt Nagy. And you can really say the run up in that training camp, they didn't really set him up to succeed, especially if he was going to end up really starting at some point in the year. And then also, you know, that first year under Eberflus kind of being a team that was ripped apart. Not a lot of talent at the, you know, pass catching positions, especially at wide receiver. And then, you know, last year he has shown development. Like, Justin Fields did show development. But I think at the, you know, in conclusion, I think Ryan Poles, when he took a look at the situation, obviously a lot of thought into it, I think the development just wasn't quite happening enough. And I think that, you know, obviously the decision to trade him away really locks in, you know, that first overall pick being a QB. And I like 99.9% certainty that that's going to be Caleb Williams. You know, I don't even really care that much about the return. I think, what is it, Austin? It's a sixth round pick in 2025.
Yeah, that can turn into a
could
four.
Become a fourth. Yeah. So I don't know how you feel about it, Austin. I mean, it was the end of an era. I think it is a little bit sad to see Justin Fields go. You hate that it had to end like this, because I know that Bears fandom in general was very excited to watch him play. He brought a lot of excitement in a dark era for this Bears team. Yeah. So
it's a, you know, this was a bittersweet moment. You know, there's what's hard about this situation, and I empathize with the fans that wanted to keep Justin Fields. And we can talk about that in a minute. This was absolutely the right decision, but I think what hurt so much about it is that Justin Fields, you know, outside of what ended up being the ultimate win loss, the ultimate statistics, the ultimate everything, he just brought an excitement and an overall, pride to that position that this city's never seen before. You know, the city has always hated on the quarterback, been plagued by quarterback play. And it seemed like through his time here, even though he didn't always do it with his arms, Chicago was proud of the quarterback that they had. I'm not saying it's perfect, and he certainly had plenty of games that were just not good enough. And that's why the decision was ultimately made. But overall, as a person, as a player, everything, he did everything that you could possibly want for the city. The hard part about this is that he was put into a position where, and that's what actually made it even better, is that he never complained. He had a way worse situation than Mitch Trubisky. And exactly what you were saying, it was bound to fail from the night he was drafted, because it was a last ditch effort on an aging old roster that's trying to, you know, maintain their quote unquote greatness of going 8-8 every season with these, you know, out old veterans, that it simply just was not going to work. Now thinking about it from Ryan Poehl's perspective, I think you could also argue he could have done a better job. But at the same time, I mean, it's hard to not see that Ryan Poehl's vision has kind of worked out perfectly. You know, sure, there's been casualties in terms of, you know, losing some players that we love, like Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, now Justin Fields. Darnell Mooney was a guy that we all loved. You know, Chase Claypool, our favorite wide receiver.
right.
But
the list goes on.
I know. We mourn the loss and then we move on like we do with Chase Claypool. No, but in all seriousness, it really is just the perfect situation. And to pass up on Caleb Williams would be pretty much for, I would say, like all but seven teams in the NFL right now. It would be a foolish decision. I think there are teams right now with, you know, quarterbacks are much better than Justin Fields. Quarterbacks are that could reset even the quarterback market today that would potentially move on from their starter and draft Caleb Williams. That's just how the NFL views this player, and that's just how I view this player as well, to be completely honest. The counterpoint to that is obviously the draft capital. And we got some reports this morning that there were higher offers that Ryan Poehl has passed on to put Justin Fields in a better situation, which I think was absolutely the right thing to do. It is hard to come to grips with that the NFL doesn't value Justin Fields the way that Bears fans value Justin Fields. That's what was hardest for me. I think that we'll end up having a fourth round pick from this. I really feel like Fields is going to be better than Russell Wilson, to be completely honest. I think he's going to beat him out. And he's younger, and I think that after a couple weeks, I don't think the Steelers are going to be that good. And I think they're going to move on to Fields. And I think that's what Ryan Poehl is betting on too. You know, I think Poehl is like, hey, I know that you're probably not going to give me the best draft capital, but I think this guy's better than the guy you have on your roster. If that happens, then I'll get my fourth round pick. It's a bet. I'm sure he could have gotten a pick this year, but when you have conditionalities, you obviously need to push it to the next year. Yeah, that's all I have to say. You know, overall, thank you to Justin Fields. But to the people that wanted to keep Justin Fields, I love your enthusiasm. But a lot of the people that were Justin Fields loyalists are people that are more loyal to the team than to the overall direction. And I'm not trying to talk down on anybody, but there's a lot of players this team has moved on from in the past that I believe the same people would have supported, like Jordan Howard. This reminds me very similarly of when the Bears traded Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard came off of a nearly 1,000-yard season, and the people were like, we should not trade him, we should not trade him, we should not trade him. Go ahead and we trade him, only get like a sixth. I think we got a conditional sixth, actually. Like something very similar to that regards to that from the Eagles. And he ended up doing nothing. But I do think that this is a different situation in the sense that I think Justin will actually continue his career and, you know, hopefully make some good decisions for himself.
Yeah, hopefully things will work out well with him and Mike Tomlin. I do feel bad in a sense because I'm like, ooh, like with all the additions that the Bears made offensively this week and then kind of going to a situation where it's like, I just don't like the offensive pieces that they really have there right now. It's nothing that excites me too much. So we'll see what Justin Fields can do with it. You know, granted, he does get the chance to start or ends up taking over in some fashion. Like, we will see him play regular season games in a Steelers uniform in some way, shape, or form, I believe, this coming season. It'll just be how many. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, thank you to Justin. I think, you know, Poehl's maybe getting a little less capital or having to place the condition on the pick and getting it as a 2025 pick instead of a 2024. You know, ultimately, sure, could they have gotten a little bit more back, but, you know, Ryan Poehl did make the statement at the combine that he wants to do right by Justin Fields. And it seems like maybe this was, as far as having a chance to be a starter, this may have been as good as it got. And also, too, got him out of conference, which I think is also something that you want to aim to do. I think even especially with quarterbacks, you never really want to have to play those revenge games consistently, whether that's just kind of like a vibe thing or not. But still, you don't want to have to be facing him all that often and get him out into the AFC. So,
yep.
happy about that. And I do agree with your sentiment, Austin. I think that, like, you know, Jordan Howard is a name we've always brought up a lot. I can remember a lot of the same going on with Allen Robinson as well, and that was 100% the right move.
Yeah.
To part ways when the Bears did with him as well. I mean, he hasn't really done much. He was clearly on the tail end, or not exactly tail end of his career, but kind of regressing past his peak when the Bears let go of him. There's definitely a lot of other examples to go through on that. And I think, you know, and that's fine. Like, being a loyal fan, liking the players that are on your team, like, I think there's just so much. I can get it. I get where people come from. But, you know, kind of like the DJ Moore tweet, like, business is business. This is how it works out in the NFL. There's not a lot of players that play their career out on one team anymore. I know Aaron Donald just retired, and he did it. But it's happening less and less. You definitely don't see it that much.
Yeah, very true. And if it's like trading a player towards the end of their career, you know, even guys like Aaron Rodgers, which, you know, you'd think if anyone's going to be a player, and Tom Brady, if you think anyone's going to be a player for their entire career for a team, it'd be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. But that happened for neither of them. The other thing that I want to add, and we'll get into, this will be the next topic too, but I just want to briefly touch on it in terms of Justin
future
Fields.
Vice President Aaron Rodgers for you, by the way.
Yeah. I just thought it was funny that he had to come out and adjust the record for some things he said about a horrible tragedy a couple years back. You guys can look that up on your own. We're not going to talk about that here, but he very interesting.
Sorry, I threw us off track. I felt like it needed to be mentioned.
Yeah, if there's only one person I hate more than Aaron Rodgers on the field, it's Aaron Rodgers off the field. But in all seriousness, I think the writing was on the wall for me. And I texted this to you, Reese, earlier. Some of the additions the Bears made this year, or specifically the Keenan Allen deal, and then also the Gerald Everett deal. Keenan Allen is like an ideal slot receiver, and also Gerald Everett is kind of, you know, more of a move tight end. He's going to be, you know, a pass catcher for the most part. You know, he's not known for his blocking. Both of these guys are primarily threats in the intermediate of the field, specifically on any sort of slant crossing route. And for those of you who don't know, the air raid offense specifically has two key staple plays, Y cross and mesh, and specifically Lincoln Riley's air raid scheme focuses extremely heavy on those two passing concepts. And when you hear air raid, for those who aren't as big into the actual X's and O's, there's no real air raid NFL offenses. They are more like quote unquote West Coast or quote unquote Shanahan style, whatever you want to call it. But they do integrate a ton of air raid passing concepts. So you don't need to be a full air raid scheme where you have these massive offensive line splits. And that's like kind of the main reason why air raid isn't popular in the NFL, is that it's just the defensive tackles are just too good in the NFL, where when you play with 3 feet splits in between your offensive linemen, like USC plays, I mean, a guy like Aaron Donald is going to blow that up immediately and get to the quarterback in 1 second and ruin the entire play. So you're still going to have a traditional, you know, maybe 1 foot, 1 foot distance between each of your offensive linemen. But the actual passing concepts, so the route combinations, can have air raid, you know, principles to them. And mesh and Y cross are very, very heavily dependent on having extremely smart slot players. Having Keenan Allen and Gerald Everett are ideal for running those types of plays. And to me, that clicked with, even if it's not Caleb Williams, let's say it's Drake May, who is from an air raid offense, and let's say it's Jaden Daniels, who's from an air raid offense, all three of these major guys are from the air raid system. Having those plays integrated year one into the playbook is going to help bridge the gap significantly to the NFL. So having those two players,
100%.
And then when I thought about Justin Fields, Justin Fields, the worst part of the field is the middle of the field and these crossing time routes. Those are just not his skill set at all. So it was a little bit odd to me when we still had Justin Fields on the team and we were adding these players that this would somehow be setting up Justin Fields for success, which I didn't think would be the case. And that was the first kind of key to me of, hey, something might happen pretty soon. It seems like this team is not preparing for Justin Fields anymore. It seems like it's preparing for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. And I mean, just for context too, I think the closest that we've really seen to like that air raid offense, you know, reaching through into the NFL was actually last year, with the Texans offense. And yeah. I forgot who had made that point, but when you look back what Bobby Slowick did for CJ Stroud, very much, you know, had a lot of those, like the Y cross mesh concepts that you had mentioned, Austin. And obviously that really helped CJ Stroud, you know, break into the league, have a historic rookie quarterback season. And that's not even quite, you know, what CJ Stroud was doing at Ohio State. I mean, Ryan Day does have some similar concepts. You know, every team is really running mesh, especially, and you know, some variation of Y cross in offenses today, no matter what the scheme is. But you know, it wasn't something that was done all too heavy at Ohio State, but still it was something that, you know, helped ease CJ Stroud into the league a little bit more. And I think that that, along with, you know, the Bears hiring Shane Waldron, is what really gives me optimism this isn't going to end up the same way as Justin Fields, where, you know, you can say, you know, Matt Eberflus, that he could possibly be a lame duck coach. But I do think that that hiring of Shane Waldron gives me a lot of optimism that, you know, there's a good chance that Eberflus survives this year and that this team can excel with him as the head coach, particularly because of that assistant hire and the other assistants, offensive assistants that Shane Waldron picked up to be a part of his offensive staff. So I think that certainly makes me optimistic. I think kind of attaching, when you look at player personnel wise, to scheme fit as well, Keenan Allen works perfectly in there. I mean, he's been a staple in the league of just being an incredible slot receiver. Exactly what you said, Austin. He makes his money in that 10 to 15, sometimes even, you know, short passes as well, you know, the 3 to 5 yard pass that he can use to go ahead and extend and get a first down. Gerald Everett is, of course, at the tight end position, but has some of those same qualities. He's really good at sitting in zones and finding where to stop and just and getting into that open part of the field, and also just not being brought down by the first tackler. I mean, he's just good at staying upright and working out extra yards. And I think even too, I think part of that with Swift kind of plays into that as well. Someone that can be a pass catching back, a dynamic back that has that explosiveness as well. When you're running some shallow cross patterns, you know, you can even see some of that get incorporated with Swift and Allen, or Everett and Allen, or even like Cole Kmet, even though he's more of that, is it Y tight end? What's the with a Y tight end, still has shown that ability and definitely growth to still be a heavy influence in the passing game, but is just a little bit more of an all-around player, which is a great thing. So I'm really excited for the direction of this offense. I'm really feel like Bears are finally catching up to a little bit more of the modern offense in the NFL, and I'm excited for really to just honestly, the Keenan Allen move was really exciting. Someone that I think, especially at our age, Austin, you know, the fans would be very familiar with Keenan Allen. They know just how dynamic he can be. The biggest question mark with Keenan Allen is never going to be anything on the field other than just the injury potential. And honestly, you can kind of count on him missing a couple games this year. I mean, that's almost a given. He has for like the past 5 years. So
he certainly has had his fair share of injury issues. And my initial reaction when the Bears traded for him, I was like, oh, this is good. And this is what also kind of keyed me in that we're probably drafting a quarterback, is I was like, okay, he looks pretty good, but he's probably only going to be here for, you know, 2-3 years maybe max before he, you know, inevitably is going to have to retire. He's 31 right now, I think, or going to be 31. I can't remember which one, but he's definitely going to be 31 at the start of the season, which, you know, is a concern. But on the flip side, he's arguably coming off of his best season as a pro this past year. 1,200 yards in, what was it, 13 games? That's crazy. that's crazy. That's better numbers than what DJ Moore.
Receptions,
yeah,
as well.
That's better than what DJ Moore put up. And, you know, so he's clearly not slowing down. And speed's never been a huge component of his game. He's more of a finesse player. So that, like, it gives you faith that even if his athleticism slows down a little bit, he's still going to be a value to this team. And he's also going to be valuable just being a veteran and being, you know, a leader on in the locker room. He's someone that's a little more, I would say, vocal than like a DJ Moore, who's kind of, you know, a quieter dude overall. So I think he will resume that leadership role. And who better to have as a safety blanket for your young quarterback than Keenan Allen? Like a fourth round pick, even if this goes horrible and he, you know, busts out, or like he doesn't give us what we think he'll give us. I mean, just as a leader in the locker room, you're never going to regret this trade. And also just having someone who, you know, with his current track record, you know, this might be a debated point by some people. I really don't think it should be. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's a 6-time Pro Bowler. I mean, that's Hall of Fame numbers. I think he's like a 3- or 4-time All Pro. Those are 100% Hall of Fame numbers.
There hasn't really been a point in his career where he hasn't been a threat. And honestly, I've been waiting for a player like him to be on the Bears for a real long time. And I think there was a part of me, too, that really hoped that Darnell Mooney could really mold his game into that, too, even though he really had the ability to be a deep threat at times. But just with what Darnell Mooney had in his bag, as far as route running ability. But when you look back, man, like I feel like so much of growing up was watching Tom Brady dish it to Wes Walker, Danny Amendola, and then Julian Edelman. Like it's just such a crucial part to have someone that can pick up first downs. Like it's just a third down conversion cheat code.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be running a button route or running some mesh, a shallow cross pattern, like there's so many different ways that you can utilize him. And you know, make teams have to switch to zone coverage, because you know, when you're playing someone man to man with Keenan Allen's shiftiness, his ability to run routes, you know, it's gonna be a lose-lose for most matchups.
Yeah.
So, man, it's definitely exciting, very exciting move, and yeah, just overall really excited for the direction of the offense. As we build up here to the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into some of the other moves. And I do want to just say, to wrap that up, like this is going to go well for the Bears. Simply for a four. Now, if we traded like a second round pick, I'd be a little more like, oh, this is a risk that you're taking, like just because of his age. But a fourth round pick, I mean, those players bust out of the NFL regularly. So, like, getting Keenan Allen for a couple years, yeah, I'll take that over a fourth-round pick. The other thing is he is on a fat contract right now. I think he's got, like, $23 million this year. If I were Ryan Poles, and what I think will end up happening is I think once they get to camp, once they kind of see what type of physical shape he's in, I think he will get a minor extension of, like, 1 to 2 more years added onto that just so that he can finish his career a Bear and really just help, like, over the first couple years of this rookie quarterback, provide that value there. You know, to have, it was funny because this free agency, and we can start talking about free agency now. I'm going to go through one by one some of the moves and we can make our comments on that and even give it a grade, each one a grade. But I was a little underwhelmed, I'd say, until that Keenan Allen deal, because I'm just like, we're preparing for a rookie quarterback, but we haven't made that one move that would make you say, okay, this is what's going to carry this quarterback like through the first initial hurdles in the NFL. I also think Keenan Allen, you know, I don't buy into this, but if you're one of the people that buy into, oh, Caleb Williams is going to have to learn, you know, the mentally to be better at the NFL level, who a better player to like keep him in check than Keenan Allen, you know, someone that's destined to be a Hall of Famer at some point. In his career, maybe not first ballot, but I think down the road he will become a Hall of Famer. Okay, Let's get into free agency. Not free agency, but Bears did trade for Ryan Bates March 4th. I'll give my thoughts on this. I wasn't a fan of this move, man, to be completely honest. I just thought a fifth-round pick was way too rich for Ryan Bates. This is a guy that I guess Ryan Poles is just super high on and really likes because we signed him to that offer sheet that the Bills ended up matching, of course. I think it was our first year, or was that our second? I think it was our first year.
That was his first, his first offseason as GM was really someone that he went on a limb to get. And I remember us honestly being super excited about the offer sheet because we were so desperate for offensive line help, man. We were like, man, I really hope this goes through.
And, he's someone that's going to be able to back. He has value because he can back up all three interior line spots to a high level, which I think is good. But overall, I just felt like a fifth round pick, given the players that are available in this draft. I probably would have rather just drafted an offensive lineman in the fifth round. And what I think really made it worse is that the guy who was starting over him at center, Mitch Morse, who's actually really good, he is aging and older, but he got cut by the team like within the same 24 hours after we traded for him. So we're like, why are we trading a fifth for his backup when we can sign the actual starter on like a 1 year deal or something like that? And just get Mitch Morse. I also felt just weird. I don't know what it is. I don't know if Ryan Poles philosophically just disagrees with signing centers, but like this was a pretty good center class.
For Ryan Bates, I mean, obviously, you had mentioned Ryan Poles' offer sheet scenario. Obviously, someone that he really likes, but I'm with you too. Like, he had an opportunity to go ahead and draft a center in last year's draft, which was a pretty deep class. Obviously, this year's class has some good names as well. So, I would have been fine drafting a center. And also, too, like, I feel like there's some good guards as well. And I think that's relevant to Ryan Bates because it's not just solely center. Like, he, like you said, can kind of go left guard, center, right guard. Overall, I think what this signaled to me and some of these other signings that we'll get to, Austin, that are along the offensive line shows me, I think, that he's pretty definitely comfortable with Darnell Wright at right tackle.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sure thing. I think with Nate Davis and the contract, you know, he's almost certain to be the starter at right guard, you know. I feel like something shocking would have to happen for that not to be the case. At center, could be Ryan Bates or one of these other names that we're going to get to. Left guard, you feel is almost always going to be Tevin when healthy. And Braxton Jones will probably be left tackle unless the Bears are looking at a tackle at that ninth pick or in a trade down, whatever they're feeling. I could see possibly them going tackle. But I think overall, and with the signings that they have made in free agency, I feel like they're fairly comfortable at least with four out of the five current starters along the offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that the big thing is the health for both Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins. That's the hard thing is I don't know if Tevin Jenkins will be on this team past his rookie contract, even despite his good play. Just because he hasn't been the most healthy and the things that have been nagging him are kind of serious issues, back for offensive linemen. That's really bad. We'll see, I guess we'll see I think if he puts a full clean slate 16-17 games this year, I think he definitely will be extension eligible in Ryan Poles' mind, but it would not surprise me. I was thinking before, now we only have four picks in the draft for the time being. I'm almost certain we're going to trade back on that ninth pick at this point, to get more picks, but, or orchestrate some sort of trade to get some of our draft capital that's in 2025 to this year. I don't know exactly what the Bears will do there, but, I was hoping that we would invest a little heavily in getting some young talent at the guard position. If it's Zach Zinter, like we've both talked about, really good, 100%. Really good situation for him there because he's a really good player. Obviously tore his ACL later into the season too, if I remember correctly. So
Ohio State. It was the game. It was the Ohio State game.
So he's going to probably be out for an extended period of time this year, I'd imagine. What a perfect situation for the Bears to, you know, pick up a guy, stash him on the roster, let him come and compete his second year, and he'll probably beat out one of those two. He'd beat out Nate Davis for sure. I would even say in his first year back, he's just a really good player. I think he's actually, if you got him, I think he'd be a better fit left guard too than a right guard. He played, that's what he primarily played at Michigan too, right? He played left guard for the most part.
Yeah. Him and Trevor Keegan were kind of like the longstanding experienced guards, and you could move them around, and Zach Zinter certainly kind of had upside. I mean, you could probably even flex him to tackle if you really wanted to. Obviously, guard is his best position. But yeah, it was primarily that left guard. And the, you know, Michigan had to do some shuffling after he got hurt. And luckily, they had a lot of depth. So they're able to keep going on the national championship run. But he's someone that's a leader. And I think that with Nate Davis under contract and maybe the uncertainty of Tevin, I feel like Zach Zinter, to me, is almost like a no-brainer pick for them, where it's like, we don't immediately need the help, but once he is healthy, like, Zach Zinter is a guard that would have, like, for sure would have been at least a day two, but maybe could have even been a day one guard, could have been a first round pick. Yeah. He's just that solid and a leader, too. So, yeah, I think that would be a no-brainer pick, and some of the other options too, not only at guard but center in the draft. I know a lot of people really, really like Jaxson Powers-Johnson. I know maybe that's still on the cards with like a trade back. Like maybe that is something that's going to happen. I know some people were even like, "Is 9 going to be too early to pick Jaxson Powers-Johnson?" I would not pick him at 9.
It's too early for sure.
That's very rich, and I think that is just really looking, and I get that you want to fill holes, but especially in the first round, I think being too antsy to just fill a need is how you can end up making some mistakes. And you know, I think Jaxson Powers-Johnson is very good, but I think picking him top 10 is getting way ahead of yourself.
All right, well, let's move on. We have a lot of free agency signings to go through. Couldn't agree more with what you just said, though. Kevin Byard was signed right before free agency to a 2-year, $7 million a year contract, you know, filling in for Eddie Jackson. Similar age to Eddie Jackson, but you're saving $11 million per year with Kevin Byard. And in my opinion, you know, I know that how it went with the Eagles. That Eagles defense was just a mess last year when he was traded to them. Like, this is one of the best safeties, kind of the same time that Eddie Jackson was a really good safety. And he, I mean, he was just a Pro Bowl. Actually, he might have even been an All Pro just like a year ago. Not this previous season, but the year before. He's going to fit much better in this Eberflus defense. They had him at strong safety for the Eagles, which isn't really what he's been playing. He fits much better in, you know, if you're playing a base, you know, cover two, cover four situation, he's going to be your free safety in those situations. Sure, he might not be, you know, back when we had Vic at defensive coordinator. He wouldn't be that free safety there, right? So it makes sense that his you know, proteges were putting him at strong safety, because he's not really that, you know, all the way back free safety. He needs a compliment. But yeah, for Matt Eberflus's defense, he's absolutely a free safety. And I think he's going to have a little bit of a resurgence here. And then he'll also just give us the opportunity to draft and develop a guy behind him.
Yeah. No, I mean, in Tennessee, I mean, there was a good stretch there where Byard and Kenny Vaccaro were really a top safety duo.
Kenny Vaccaro, I completely forgot about him. That's you know what's a great funny? Name to bring up.
I'm pretty sure, I never looked into it, but I was watching like the in-season Hard Knocks, and actually not a good headline today. There's some new news with Tyreek Hill, but I'm pretty sure that's his sister. That's Tyreek Hill's current wife.
Oh, really? I didn't know
Kenny
that.
Kenny Vaccaro's sister, I believe.
Interesting. I mean, I didn't know that.
At least her last name is Vaccaro, and I don't think that's an overly typical last name. So. But yeah, I mean, moving on from that, like Kevin Byard has had a very good career. And I think with Philly, that's my hope, at least, Austin, because he did not play well in Philly. And that's my hope, is that overall, just with the changing of defensive coordinators, going from Sean Desai to Matt Patricia midseason, and just kind of some other ways that the Eagles defense really became a letdown after they had such a strong start as a team to the season. I'm hoping that kind of the fresh start, and also just too with the positive momentum that the Bears finished with last season on the defensive side of the ball, and returning a lot of the key players that contributed to that, and Jalen Johnson, Montez Sweat, obviously Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards. Since those guys are going to be back, I feel like there's going to be a lot of like the same vibes. There's going to be a lot of similar belief that they can pick up where they left off last season. And especially as they're making some more additions to that side of the football, I think that Byard was a good pickup. Obviously, too, like, we didn't get to speak on the Eddie Jackson. Kind of a similar feel to Justin Fields on that one. Yeah. Like, Eddie Jackson was so damn good for the first couple years of his career. Obviously, you know, kind of had some injuries, and then, you know, kind of had the whole tackling thing where... wasn't maybe giving full effort all the time, but he was someone too that loved being like a Bear. And I think he really wore that on his sleeve, especially as a player. I think was a leader. And I know that, you know, especially like Jalen Johnson too, was sad to see him go.
Oh, yeah.
Because was someone that really mentored Jalen Johnson and helped mold him too to become a better player. So yeah, I mean, you know, farewell to him. Hopefully, I'm sure he'll get picked up by another team. I don't think he has already, right?
No, I could see him actually joining the Eagles and reuniting with Vic. I feel a very similar way about Eddie Jackson. You know, really a player that didn't complain, embodied everything that meant to be a Bear. At one point, I thought he might be, you know, a Hall of Fame player on this team. Like, he might. I looked at him after his first couple of years and said, you know, this is a guy that if he continues at this pace, he's going to be a Hall of Famer for sure.
The trajectory was so damn good.
Yeah.
And I think if looking like Vic, the sky was the limit.
I really think if Vic Fangio never left, I think that that could have been the scenario. It's just that he had a very, you know, as we talk about with all these players in the draft, you know, not only is it important their skill set, but it also is important that they go to a team that maximizes that skill set. And Eddie Jackson is an example of an imperfect player that was put in a position that he was the one of the most perfect players at the position, because he was really not forced to do any of the things he wasn't that great at. And he was forced to only do what he was good at. And he did a damn good job on that in the 2018-2019 season, even the 2017 season. I remember when we essentially beat the Panthers just because of him in his rookie year. That was an awesome, awesome game. One I'll always remember for sure. All right, but moving on, you know, Kevin Byard, I'm going to give it actually the two grades. Ryan Bates, I'm going to give that like a straight D, to be honest. I wasn't too thrilled with that. I'd rather have that fifth round pick back, especially with some of the other additions we've had since free agency started. And then for Kevin Byard, I'm going to give that like an A-. I really like that move. I think it makes just a lot of sense. Doesn't force us to have to draft the player this year. Kind of fills that gap for a little bit, and you get it at a much cheaper deal. And also... I mean, that might as well be an A+ with the way that the safety that the Packers just signed, I'm blanking on his name, starts with an X.
Xavier McKinney.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney. That's a hilarious contract, $17 million a year. I thought he was going to get somewhere in the realm of like $10 to $11 million a year. But yeah, good for you, Packers. $17 million a year to a safety in the modern day NFL is a little bit rich for me. All right, but moving on. You give me your grades for those two moves before we move on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna try to stay optimistic on Ryan Bates and at least as a player, and try not to, like, I know it was a trade, so it's a little folly to do this, but not think of that extra compensation that we had to give. So I feel like, you know, I'm gonna stay optimistic and say like a solid C there, and just hope that he can be some depth for, you know, like you said, if Nate Davis, Well, not only that, I hope he's depth ultimately. You know, there's a chance that he might end up being the starting center. We'll see how that shakes out. I think it's definitely going to be a training camp storyline, something to look out for potentially. So I'm going to give that a C. I think A minus might be the perfect, like B plus, A minus, something in that range. Certainly a very strong pickup. And I think, you know, definitely probably a improvement on scheme fit and how well the player is going to play for this defense, and also to the lighter contract. So I think that's a win-win.
Yeah. All right, moving on. DeAndre Swift. This was a move that initially when I saw it, I was a little bit, I was iffy on it. I wasn't the happiest with it.
You definitely were. Yeah.
$7 million a year. I saw it and I was like, dude, come on, DeAndre. Like, there's so many better. There was like, well, specifically Saquon and Josh Jacobs. I was like, those two are much better. If you're going to sign a running back and give him a big contract, why not give it to one of those players? It's a move that's grown on me quite a bit after watching pretty much like all of his snaps at this point on the Eagles. I think that, you know, him only being 25 also, you know, there's running backs coming out in the draft right now that are 25 years old. So that is definitely a benefit compared to someone like Saquon, who's 27, going to be 28 at the start of the season. And I think that the contract is a good value. I also do like him on this team in particular. I think he's a good fit there. I do have my concerns, though. You know, he had a pretty much zero yards over expected average this year per game, which means that he didn't really get, like, on a higher statistical view, he didn't really give you much more than you were getting him. And then he also, on top of that, as like the other counterpoint, it is concerning to me that two teams that are, you know, fairly good were so eager to move off of him. The Eagles not giving, like, deciding to go and get a more veteran player like Saquon Barkley and pay him more money than extending DeAndre Swift, who you just traded for. That's a little bit concerning as well. I do think overall, though, what saves this move for me is that I really like the fit in this offense, and I really like the overall how this running back room looks. I think it looks really good right now. So, you know, I'm going to give it a C plus. You know, I'm apprehensive, but I overall like what he will provide for the team.
Yeah, I think he's a really curious player. You know, I like that you brought up, because I was going to bring that up as well, the yards expected per carry. Wasn't necessarily something that I expected, but almost kind of made sense after I had seen that statistic. I mean, I feel like he has such clear upside. It just doesn't always come through, you know? Like, I feel like you can use DeAndre Swift in so many ways. I feel like he does have that explosiveness that, like, currently our running back room kind of seemed to lack. Like, I was hopeful that Khalil Herbert was going to show more of it, because we had seen some of it. I think Roshan Johnson, I'm still optimistic that he can be a contributor, but was a little underwhelmed at times with how he looked in, at least in the Getsy offense. You know, we also have to see how this is gonna change with, you know, obviously a new install of an offense this offseason. So I'm relatively happy with the pickup. I think that they needed to get a running back in some form. I thought they would honestly do it in the draft. Obviously, the Bears have traded away some of their later round picks this year. So I guess that kind of makes more sense why they did it. So for me, it's a B minus. I think that he will do well in the offense, and I'm hopeful. I'm curious to see, like, I don't know. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but, like, I don't know if anyone in this current, like, running back group will. And it is 17 games, so maybe it will happen, but if it'll be 1,000-yard rushers, like, I don't know if I see anyone in the room that's like, okay, Khalil Herbert's going to go over 1,000. It's certainly going to be a running back by committee approach, I would think. But Swift will certainly be your bell cow. Will definitely be getting the majority of the touches.
Yeah, and in terms of traits, you know, he really has all of them. And he, you know, it's not what I initially wanted Saquon, but the more I distance myself from both Saquon and Josh Jacobs, it, the way that running back contracts have turned out for teams haven't been looking great so far. So I think getting a more modest contract is good. But overall, I just, he's going to need to take another step. You know, he had his best season last season, which I think is great. But he's going to need to take that next step for him to be worth this deal. At the end of the day, though, $7 million a year, whatever. If it helps Caleb Williams, then I'm happy with it. I think it's fine. All right, but moving on, the Bears signed Brett Rypien, you know, comes from the Rams. He was also, I think he was with Shane Waldron a couple of different times, right? I think he was with him on the Rams. I think he was, yeah, he was on the Seahawks too with him.
Short stint.
Yeah. So someone that knows his kind of system, or the Sean McVay system at least, which is where, you know, Waldron gets a lot of his influence from. This signing also kind of signified me that we're probably going to be moving in another direction at quarterback. This wasn't like a, you know, nail in the coffin by any means, but definitely when I saw this signing, I was like, okay, this is going to be the guy that knows Shane Waldron's system extremely well. He's going to teach it to the rookie. You know, we didn't necessarily need a backup quarterback because Tyson Bagent did a pretty good job. But you get a guy that knows the system extremely well, can teach these concepts to the rookie quarterback at a very high level, be kind of, you know, the quarterback on the field, and could probably start a few games in the beginning of the season if we feel that Caleb needs, you know, a little more time. Or should I say, whoever's going to be there, pretty sure it's going to be Caleb, but that's what I'll say. I like this move, you know, low risk, high reward. I'm going to give it straight A.
Yeah, I'm curious if he'll end up being possibly QB2, or if he's kind of just like that emergency QB, spends time on the practice squad type deal, or if Bagent has got that lockdown. I feel like I already mispronounced, is it Bagent, right?
Isn't that how it's actually pronounced? I call him Bagent.
Yeah, whatever it is, honestly. You know, we'll see. Maybe it signifies, you know, passing of the torch at that backup quarterback position. Right. I mean, I think it's an A. It's that obvious move of getting a backup that knows the system. I mean, I think that's as deep as it goes. To me, it wasn't so much like signifying a change at quarterback. I mean, I guess you can make the case, obviously, that change of quarterback is happening. So perhaps it was. But to me, it was clearly getting someone in that is familiar with the system. And perhaps to Caleb, you know, can serve a little bit as that mentor, help be, you know, oftentimes the veteran kind of backup is kind of supposed to be kind of like an assistant quarterback's coach, you know, obviously on game day, but also too, just during practice when you're doing film breakdowns and looking at self-improvement as well, obviously someone that can be helpful in that. So, yeah, I mean, I think solid pickup. Sure, you can go ahead and slap an A on it. It's not something that incredibly moves the needle, but I think it's something that is a smart move to make.
Yep, absolutely. All right, moving on. And I also find it just hilarious when we have to be analyzing guys like, you know, Brett Rypien and, you know, what was his name? Jonathan Owens, come out here being like, Jonathan Owens signed a one-year $2.5 million contract. F. Like, these moves, it's almost comical to like make a comment on these like low risk, high reward signings.
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, I think a lot of people were more excited with Jonathan Owens about Simone Biles probably going to games, right. More so than the player acquisition itself. But, you know, is someone that this team is familiar with, kind of laid out a dirty hit on Justin Fields actually last year, I believe, in one of the games, kind of a late hit as he was sliding. So, you know, someone that this team is familiar with. There's kind of been a lot of this inner division movement, obviously, with Jones going to the Vikings. I know even to just over the past few years, you know, you can go back to the Equanimeous St. Brown. And usually it is to not quite at that Aaron Jones level as far as notoriety or impact. A lot of it's kind of been depth or role players, but it is just something interesting to note. And of course, that does happen across the league. This isn't the only division where that does happen, but I feel like it's been happening more frequently as of late.
Yep. All right. Well, but let's talk about Jonathan Owens. Exactly. Simone Biles' husband. I texted my fiance when he signed. I was like, Simone Biles' husband plays for the Bears now. She, of course, knows who Jonathan Owens is. And as in the same way, like Travis Kelce from Taylor Swift. but in all seriousness, evaluating Jonathan Owens as a player, just coming through and looking at him, you know, listening to his press conference, I thought he sounds like he's an extremely down-to-earth person and good person. It sounds like through what he was saying. I think as a player, you know, he actually was pretty good for the Packers and played pretty good amount of snaps, surprisingly. You know, he's going to fill in. He's probably going to be our backup strong safety, I'd imagine. And, you know, that's something that we needed, especially with Jaquan Brisker missing 5 snaps every single game. but it was funny. I saw a Twitter account do a search of Jaquan Brisker shaken up. And it was like every single week shaken up.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that that's important there. I think that's a really good signing. Bears adding throughout all free agency a lot of good depth. I'll pair this one with Matt Pryor as well in my analysis. Big time need swing tackle. Larry Borum was just not going to cut it. And, you know, Braxton Jones for the most part has been healthy, but still, like, especially when you're throwing a rookie quarterback back there. Can't have Larry Borum at left tackle guarding him for any amount of snaps. So really like that addition. I'm going to give both of these like B plus straight down the middle double. You know, I like adding depth to the team, and that seemed to be a clear priority at both the offensive line for sure.
Yeah, I like that Jonathan Owens plays downhill. I mean, I think that that's really in what I've seen of him play, especially when he's been playing up against the Bears or watching Packers games when he has been on the field, is that he does play downhill, certainly not afraid to make contact. And in this scheme, and kind of similar to the way that Jaquan Brisker plays, cannot be afraid to go and make the hit. And I think that's certainly a characteristic of his game that they both share. So I like that pickup. I think Pryor, I agree with that as well. With Braxton Jones, well, he did have that neck injury that kind of popped up at one point last year, which was surprising. Like he had said that he had been healthy in his time beforehand, at least playing every game in 2022, and then had to deal with that neck and actually got back sooner than we both believed. So that was also a positive note for him. And yeah, I mean, I like the B plus ratings. I'll give him a B minus. I think that it's good depth. And I think ultimately too, I do, as boring as it is, do kind of like the tactic by polls. Ultimately, a lot of these depth players, well, the NFL has shifted more into a thing where the star players, you need those playmakers that can make big time plays. Well, the league has certainly moved in that direction over a course of a 17 game season. And it's ridiculous that they're thinking about possibly pushing it to 18. Just don't even get me started. We don't need on it. That.
Yeah.
But as much as I love football, like, trust me, I love watching more football, but really, they don't need 18. Like, same things that's going on in college football right now. Like, it's just money that's driving it. It's a business. I get it. But that's really the sole reason why it's happening or being proposed. But the depth in these long seasons is kind of equally as important. And if you're a team that has poor depth, or, you know, your depth players don't fit in well, and especially along the offensive line, like the injuries are going to happen along the offensive line. Like that's a given. You have 5 players there over a course of a 17 game season. It would be a miracle for none of them to go down. It just doesn't happen. It's likely that one will go down with maybe something minor, hopefully minor, over the first 3 weeks or in camp, you know?
Yeah.
Like this does happen. So I think that what Poles is doing by upgrading the depth is almost equally as important as some of the splash moves that he has made so far this offseason.
And with trading some of these draft picks, I mean, we kind of we have cap. We don't have the most draft picks right now. Obviously, we have, you know, 2 really high draft picks, and that's the most important thing, right? But We don't have a lot of draft picks. So to kind of compensate for that, I like the approach of really spreading out some of this money. Again, most of these are 1 to 2 year contracts, so they're not going to really have any effect on the ability to build the team further. Just kind of filling in holes here and there. And that's something that, you know, it can be frustrating at times, but what I like about Poles is he really is a value hunter. Like he's not interested in just like that, for instance, that Christian Wilkins contract, which, man, that thing shocked me. I thought he was going to sign for somewhere between like 21 to 22. I was shocked at that 28 number that the Raiders gave him. I mean, they truly just went out and just signed, like gave him whatever they wanted. Good player, really good player, but hard to imagine that that deal won't be an absolute tax on the organization if they start actually performing. But the good thing for them is they don't draft any good players, so they never need to use the cap anyways. So, overall, I think it makes a lot of sense, this free agency. Next signing, Gerald Everett. This might be, you know, outside of the obviously like the trade for Keenan Allen, this might be my favorite move, to be honest, of the offseason. I've been a Gerald Everett fan. I've been surprised that he hasn't found a long-term home. Honestly, he's just done such a good job on every team he was on. I think he was even on that Rams Super Bowl team, if I remember correctly.
I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's just always been a steady good guy, good player. You know, knows Shane Waldron, knows Keenan Allen. Shane Waldron and him are like big fans of each other, I guess, because they're always taking pictures together, and you know, he's kind of followed him destination to destination. But just someone that complements Cole Kmet extremely well. You know, I like that he's a move tight end, but not necessarily like a sole pass catcher. It's really hard to be a sole pass catching tight end in the NFL because really when you're that player, and like this is what the kind of the Kyle Pitts situation, when you're that type of player, teams don't play you like a tight end. They play you like a wide receiver, and they'll put a DB on you. And it kind of gets rid of the advantage of having a tight end, which is, you know, having a linebacker on you. Overall, I think this is a good move. I think Gerald Everett is a perfect complement to Cole Kmet. I think the contract value is good. Ideally, long-term, you draft a guy and get him in there. But as I've said before, when you draft a tight end, don't expect anything for the first couple of years unless you're Sam Laporta, which is kind of the weirdest tight end to actually be super successful in his first year. I don't know. Overall, just love the move. And this with the Swift signing and the Keenan Allen signing, this is one of the most impressive groups of talent I truly believe to ever surround a first overall pick.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's an excellent point. I think that Gerald Everett's a solid A signing for me. You know, obviously, it's just like a 2-year deal. So it's nothing long term. You can obviously look to take a tight end in the draft to develop and kind of be a tight end 3. But I like Gerald Everett's game a lot. I mean, he picks up a lot of just those grimy yards, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. He doesn't usually go down after first contact, and you know, he's not like exceptionally fast, but I think he is a high IQ football player, especially too when it comes into settling into the zone. So I really like what he can add into the offense. I think he does give more versatility, and it's just another target in the red zone, or on third down plays, you know, really kind of the most crucial elements of the football game where I think the Bears have been the most frustrating over the past couple of years. So I think they've really loaded up in finding those game changing players, finding those players that can make plays in the critical moments. I'm certainly excited for what he can throw in there. I think he's maybe had a couple little brush ups with injuries in the past, but he's usually available, as well. And, you know, to a lot of these GMs, the best ability is availability. So, you know, looking at health wise, if a lot of these players that the Bears have brought in can stay fairly healthy over the course of the year, I think they're going to be able to find a lot of success offensively. You have to feel like Caleb Williams is being, you know, it's not like everything on the Bears offense is perfect. I'm not saying that by any means, but comparatively to where, you know, the first overall pick quarterbacks, the situations are usually thrown into, this does seem exceptionally better than almost any other situation. I mean, this has been built up very well for him. And also, too, you know, just like it would have been a fresh install for Justin Fields learning a new offense. Here you bring in a rookie quarterback that's going to be learning a new offense, but everyone's kind of going to be getting it together. But there are some players, like you said, Gerald Everett's familiar with the scheme. And, you know, that only seems like a positive to help Caleb Williams get off on his footing as quickly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm gonna give that a straight A plus. Huge fan of that signing. Think it was needed. If you're not gonna find one in the draft, I thought it was needed. If you added back Mercedes Lewis, who I'd love to add back, I mean, this is a really complete tight end room. Might be one of the best in the NFL when you consider it top to bottom. Yeah, really think that's gonna be really, really good for the rookie quarterback that steps in there. Signing Amon Agbonbenmega. I think that's how you pronounce the last name. Maybe less, maybe more fluently than I just did, but you know,
likely
core special teamer. Really, you know, he's going to be a backup linebacker for us, probably in the same kind of role that Tremaine Edmonds. I would assume he's going to probably be the primary backup for Edmonds. I like that this GM, our GM, prioritizes special teams. I think it's important. So good addition there. Low cost too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, not someone that really should get you fired up about like a huge defensive improvement, but you're right. I mean, obviously you usually look at that for like undrafted free agents as well, but there are a lot of veteran players out there as well that can contribute special teams wise. I've watched him play a little bit, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I've, you know, really gone through the tape of him all too much. But, you know, I agree with what you said, Austin. Like, it's kind of being phased out a little bit, you know, at least on the kick side of it, but certainly like on punt return. Obviously, that's still a huge aspect of the game, kind of a part of the game that the Bears were not great at, especially just the punting game in general last year. So certainly improvements to be made on special teams. And, you know, for whatever it means for kicks, we see less and less kick returns every year. But, you know, yeah.
Which means Velus Jones gets better every year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So to kind of round it out, let me make sure I'm not missing anybody here. Actually we got two guys. I'll mention them in tandem. Well, I'm not going to mention Dante Pettis because I don't even think he'll be on the roster come day one, but we signed yesterday Jake Martin at defensive end. A guy that had two sacks last year, kind of an end of the roster guy. Also signed Coleman Shelton, who actually did play a good amount of starting snaps at that center position. It's like a 1 year, $3 million deal. To me, this is like the backup option if we can't get another guy, or Ryan Bates, I guess, doesn't work out. I don't know if the plan is for Bates to be the starting center or for Coleman to be the starting center. I don't really know what the plan is there, but we'll see, I suppose. And you know, overall Coleman Shelton, I like that signing. He looks pretty good. I've seen a few highlights where some of the announcers had some interesting things said during the highlights. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about, Reese, but I'll send it to you otherwise. Something about him clearing out, defensive ends as quickly as teenagers clear out their search history. So that was interesting.
Would that be by would that be by Mark Sanchez by chance?
It might have been.
Is he the commentator?
It might have been.
He's had a lot of interesting ones like that.
But. Yeah. Both these guys, you know, Jake Martin, maybe he takes Dominique Robinson's spot, which I think is a player that's kind of bound to be off the roster time roster cut down comes this year.
Coleman, I thought Shelton, that might be the case last year too. So.
Me too. I was surprised that they kept him over, you know, some of the other guys that they let go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm intrigued slash slightly concerned still at the center situation. We'll see. You know, I do think Coleman Shelton is a good pickup, especially at that price, right? This is another situation where it's like, how can you really give it a terribly bad grade? It's not like it was anything super substantial. At the same time, you know, it's kind of just like some weird aspects of that. I haven't looked myself, so I can't attest if this is true. But I did see like a zero PFF grade on pass protection for him.
I don't know
if that's accurate, but I'm really curious to see like how that came to be. If it is true, I personally, I need to see that for myself. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like it's hard to disagree with bringing in offensive line depth, and it's going to be something that, you know, the depth of the offensive line is going to be something to watch during training camp, because you know, I wouldn't think that the Bears are done adding along the offensive line either. So there are going to have to be some players that do have to go, especially when they're doing roster cutdowns. So, you know, that's going to be a very important process of preseason, of training camp, is figuring out who is the best fits to keep around for depth in the interior and also at tackle. So we'll see.
There's a few good centers left out on the market too that I'm just kind of surprised overall haven't been picked up. You know, Connor Williams, he is obviously coming off of a torn ACL. I could see something happening where Connor Williams, like things kind of keep playing out as free agency, and the Bears potentially bring him in after he just accepts his value is not where he's going to want to be, on like some sort of short contract to allow him to hit free agency quicker. Brian Allen, who was actually the starter for the Rams, still out there. Bradley Bozeman, who started for Carolina last year. I know early into the season, Carolina fans were really happy with him, but then I don't know how that turned out, because that line was kind of overall just a mess for the Panthers last year.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe if it's just going to be hard going into the draft with only four picks, and I know, like, in reality, they're probably going to just trade down from 9 and print more picks and still get a damn good player. But overall, I kind of feel like there's a lot left on the table here for the center market. I really think the Bears should consider dipping back in, even if it's just taking a flyer on Connor Williams, who, you know, I know he's had some snapping problems, but overall, worst case scenario, he's an extremely high level guard and would bench Nate Davis immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could disagree with you there. I'm not really content with where the center's at, and I'm not sure like why the Bears constantly neglect it. You know, the Lucas Patrick signing just never did it for me. Cody Whitehair as a stopgap was just terrible there.
Doug Kramer also didn't work out, the center we drafted. I don't know, man. Seems like we really should just like finally just like bite the bullet and sign a center. But I guess we'll see what the market. We're only the first weekend of free agency, you know. Like, for instance, we signed. I also am interested to see if the Bears will come back and sign some other edge rusher. To be honest, I think that could be an option.
Or if it's a re-sign of Yen.
Ngakoue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could happen, you know?
Yeah.
Not just something I'd be mad at, not something I'd be jumping for joy with, but...
You know. We can talk about this briefly here, but it's pretty clear to me that second pick is likely to be a defensive player, is likely to be a D-lineman.
I think so. I think there's potential for it to be tackle. I think in a trade back, I think Byron that means Murphy. That they're fine. Yeah, it could be Byron Murphy. I think if they do trade back from 9, it probably signals that they're okay with not taking a wide receiver, at least in the first. Like, they still might draft another one. But I think that does signal D-line. Could be interior. I mean, it could be Byron Murphy. It could be Johnny Newton. Could be, like, Johnny Drazan Newton, whichever you care to pronounce, or whichever is the right way. could be an edge, you know, could end up being a trade back for Laiho Tuilaatu. Could be a bunch of things. So we'll see. And it could be, is it the tackle rankings, the way teams are perceiving them, has kind of shifted a little bit. Some people are getting higher on Fuaga. You know, certainly there seems to be interest there from the Bears in him. So yeah, we shall see. It'll keep us intrigued.
That's where the Bears could actually make some money here. Is it's almost, well, it's actually pretty much at this point to me certain. If I had to guess the draft board right now, I think that four of the Cardinals are going to stick and pick. I think that the first three are going to be quarterbacks. Four of the Cardinals are going to stick and pick Marvin Harrison. I think five, if I had to make a guess right now, I think that's going to be a trade out. And I think that someone's going to come up and draft a quarterback, maybe the Vikings there. And then I think that six is owned by who owns six? Do you know?
Let me look. No, I don't know off the top of my head.
I think it's the Titans. Sorry, Giants. Giants, I think, are going to go neighbors.
Giants.
Neighbors there. I think Tennessee is going to
smoke that. It could be McCarthy possibly, but
to the Giants.
That could be all fluff. I mean, we know how this goes. So
I think five could be McCarthy, whoever trades up there. I think there could be four quarterbacks in the first five picks. And I think the Giants will probably stick and pick Neighbors or Odunze. I think Tennessee will go Joe Alt. And I think Atlanta will draft whoever their top edge rusher is. So Chicago will probably have a situation where they could either draft a wide receiver, or they'll have the Penn State offensive tackle they could probably sell to somebody. And you know, teams are willing to move up for their left tackle for sure. So
there's going to be a lot of interest in that pick. There's likely to be at least one or two players there that teams are going to be eager to trade up for. Likely.
So Atlanta could also see drafting another wide receiver too, though. I have to say that. So who knows? Maybe there isn't a wide receiver. Maybe it's just the Bears get the best defensive player, or they get the they have the best tackle there. It's going to be hard. It's going to be interesting to see, but I would just almost certainly assume with the way that Ryan pulls, I would be shocked if at draft night we still only have four picks, or like after the draft, we only picked four times.
I know we're running long on time. This has been a longer podcast, which there's been a lot to cover. But I will say, just kind of spitballing here, something that's, as I've just been watching more and just doing more thinking about the draft, there is one player that I'm still not saying, like, I don't think that really his positional ranking should change too much, but at least, like, where if I see if there's bust potential or not, I have come around a little bit on someone, and I can't believe it, honestly. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe, I think that, like, there's a chance, of course, with quarterback, too. Like, it's all about, like, right situation. But I'm not as critical of Bo Nix anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I could see it. Maybe that's who the Bears pick at one. I think
the shockwaves that would be sent, but yeah.
He's going to have, like, to me, I think he could certainly end up having, like, a Kirk Cousins career in the NFL. Where he's just imperfect, and he doesn't win much, but he gets contract after contract because he can be efficient. He processes at a pretty high level. You know, I think that he's going to be a first rounder for sure. I would be shocked if he wasn't a first rounder.
Yeah, I'd be surprised too. I think that, like, this QB, like, we've just been so starved. The league has been starved for quarterback prospects. And I think that this class is actually not just being gassed up. I think it is legitimately deep. I think I do think options one through six in the right situation could pan out. I mean, I just, like, also too, with, I was very wrong on Justin Herbert, and just that Oregon offense, it makes you second guess yourself. But in this one, it just made me second guess myself in the other direction. I'm like, also, too, with just, like, his time that he had at Auburn, too, like, was just a different experience. And he wasn't, like, terrible at Auburn. And I think he developed, and then got placed in a little bit friendlier of a system at Oregon and just took off with it.
And that's what it'll have to be for him. Is it'll have to be a system that is built around a game manager at quarterback, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. You know, like I'm the player that I think I'm the most scared of if I would be a team to draft, and it's not. I actually think he's gonna have a really good chance of being good, but I'm afraid that a team is gonna push him to start too early. Is actually McCarthy. I think that he's like. It would be best if he could sit for like 1 year.
I agree. I think he has a really high chance of actually being very good.
Yes.
I think that if he does start right away, I think that like with Sean Payton, I have faith in him that he'd be a good coach for him. But I do think that him being put in a situation where he can sit and develop wouldn't be a bad thing either. He has a lot of great traits, man. Like, and people even sleep on how athletic he is. He's incredibly athletic.
Yeah, he can make. He can run, for sure. Yeah,
he can certainly run. He's pretty agile as well. A great competitor, and he's got pretty good vision. He just has like a few, and I can say this like having watched every Michigan game, like Michigan wouldn't have been able to accomplish what they could without a quarterback of that level of JJ McCarthy. Like that switch from Cade McNamara to JJ McCarthy.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely needed to happen. He just has like one or two moments a game where he just has like that immature throw and like an NFL, like it would cost him. He just has like that one or two decisions every game where you're like, huh, what were you thinking? And that was it's magnified because he isn't someone that had an incredible number of reps because that's not what the offense called for. And I think that actually can work out in his favor where it's like, if he gets put in a pass heavy scheme, I think sky can still be the limit. Like he had to throw out of rhythm so often at Michigan. Like he never really got a chance where it's like, oh, like, we're just going to get you in some rhythm throws. Like he did have that with like screens. He utilized those for sure. And there's some moments of some games where it's like, okay, we're just in JJ McCarthy rhythm time. But there's also so many games, especially down the stretch, where it was like, we're running heavy and it's like, okay, now we need you to rip off the big play action. And in general, it usually worked out.
Yeah. So he always answered when called upon. I think that's the big thing is really, he just has like the offense that he played in was not like very pass happy. He simply does not have the reps at the moment, in my opinion, to just immediately be ready to go to, you know, for instance, Minnesota, where I think that they're going to be down a lot and he's going to have to throw a lot. My ideal situation for him would be like the Jets or Seattle, where he gets to like sit a couple years. And I think that he could be a high level starter. I just think that he really needs to sit 1 year, I think would be perfect for him, and just be able to take that next step, you know, get into, you know, a more like a different offense. And I think that that would serve him well. It'd be crazy if the Chargers drafted him straight up.
I don't think they will, honestly, but
I don't think so either, but you never know with Jim Harbaugh, man.
You never know with Jim Harbaugh, but I don't know. I feel like maybe that's even just like a little too crazy. I could be wrong. I mean, it could be eating my words, but I think
he said Justin Herbert was a big reason he accepted the job. So yeah, it's just going to be 100%. Interesting to see Justin Herbert go from being like one of the highest volume passers to like, you know,
to JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it'd be a good spot for JJ McCarthy. Like ideal, almost like perfect situation. The Rams
would be very good for him.
He gets to sit behind Matthew Stafford.
Like, yeah.
For, you know, Matthew Stafford's one game away from retiring. he's been one game away from retiring for the past like 5 years. So it's going to happen any given moment. Sean McVay, I just feel like that would get me really excited if I'm a JJ McCarthy fan.
I think Seahawks, I think that was a good one. The Rams would be a good pickup.
Denver, obviously, but he would be starting. But I think Sean Payton, especially having Drew Brees, like he's going to set up a system that's going to be, you know, good enough where I think that he could give him enough support in by the scheme that it could, you know, allow him to just become a higher volume passer without, you know, having to stretch too much. The other thing about JJ McCarthy is he has ice on his in his veins on third down. He's fucking amazing. The best quarterback in the class on third down by far. So I think that that'd be perfect for him, Denver.
Yep. No, it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be a great draft. I mean, I don't know. Been looking forward to this draft for a while. There's so many great players. I mean, there's like a few positions where it's like not that strong, to be honest. But, man, a lot of the positions are really deep. And especially just in today's NFL, being deep at quarterback and being deep at wide receiver just makes it – it's set up to be a legendary draft. So
yeah. Yeah, seriously. All right, man. Should we kill it?
I think we should kill it. Yeah, we definitely have some stuff that we can cover again, hopefully this coming week. But yeah, we'll leave some to be desired, but definitely covered all the current news. And hey, man, with the rate this offseason is going, we might have to be hopping back on the pod too again sometime soon, because you just never know when the next move is going to be made. Yeah, man, very exciting. Exciting time to be a Bears fan.
Yeah. I feel weird. Like, I was the only bit of me that was thinking we might not trade Fields is I was almost feeling like things were going too well for this moment. You know, I was feeling like things are going a little too well for the Bears right now. So I really hope that on draft night we don't have a shocker. I hope that's a boring, you know, first overall pick for us. You know, you never know with this team, so we'll see.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, until the next time, bear down.
Bear down, everyone.
And we're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. And the last thing, the most important piece, is we're going to take the North and never give it back.